Welcome to a Tech Moment on Cannabis Tech. I'm your host, Christina Etter. In this podcast, we take just a few minutes to talk about some of the exciting science and technology that's happening in the cannabis and hemp industries. Just a little over a year ago, I had the opportunity to take a behind-the-scenes walk through MedFarm's cultivation, research, and pulp processing facility in Denver. Today, it is my pleasure to host Albert Gutierrez, the CEO of MedFarm, to talk about this exciting news and what it means, not only for MedFarm, but for the industry in general. Welcome to the show, Albert.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. Excited to talk more about what new advances in cannabis.
So yeah, let's talk about this process. It's been several years in the making from what I understand. You originally applied for this, I think, back in 2016. So tell me, what has this process been like for you?
Yeah, you know, initially when we came up with the idea to apply for this license, we knew it was a kind of far-fetched idea. We knew it would take some time. And for us, it was really important that we were able to establish guidelines for providing quality cannabis and cannabis dosage forms for researchers. And so that was really what we started with in order to make this application and turn it into the DEA and DOJ. And so we said, well, how do we differentiate ourselves? Why are we better, or what makes us just as good, if not better, than University of Mississippi? So we looked at, you know, our team and the compound pharmacists that we have on staff, PhD chemists in medicinal natural products chemistry, analytical chemistry, everything that we've already done in the industry for growing and manufacturing and extracting and creating powerful dosage forms. And so we put that all together in an application to say, here's what we bring to the table, and here's how we can bring quality dosage forms and quality cannabis to life for researchers, right? Because you want to make sure you have good research, and to do that, you have to have good product, right? And so we did that in our application. We articulated how we were going to go about that, showing that we can operate in a regulated market like we have in Colorado, and then taking that to the next level for FDA approval and research purposes.
Most definitely. It has been a long time coming, that's for sure. And clearly this new movement from the DEA has come from Dr. Sue Sisley's push on them, the lawsuit that she took out to try to get them to take a little more action. But obviously it takes something special to be chosen as one of those first locations that's able to do this kind of research. So let's take a moment just to kind of talk about your facility. Obviously, I had the opportunity to tour last year and see your facility firsthand. But let's give our audience an idea of what your facility is like here in Denver.
Yeah, so our facility here in Denver, it's a 15,000 square foot facility. It contains everything from cultivation to extraction to analytical chemistry lab, formulation lab with the USP 797 clean room so we can make sterile dosage forms for research purposes, packaging areas to make sure that we are handling the medicine with the utmost care. And so it really contains everything all in one that you need to be able to have what's called a closed loop system so that we have high quality dosage forms that are created in there. On top of that, we have to have the team that comes together to pull that all in into perspective and to make sure we're making these compounds that are impactful. So like I mentioned earlier, you know, we have a great director of chemistry and extraction in Dr. Tyrell Toll. He's got a PhD in medicinal natural products chemistry. We have Scott Karolchek, who is a 35-year compound pharmacist and has holds a few patents on injections for the eye for glaucoma. We also have Stephanie Malatik, who is a chemist who used to work for the National Renewable Energies Laboratory. She's our director of laboratory operations and makes sure everything's running fluidly there. So it's a really great brain trust to pull from. On top of that, we have a great board in TJ Johnsrud, who's a 50-year compound pharmacist. Dr. Chris Nelson, who has a company called Chemin. But Dr. Nelson is involved as a board member as well for Global Plant Extraction. I call them the biggest company you've probably never heard of because their products are on Subway meats, for instance, if you ever go to Subway, to preserve the meat. And they do about $850 million a year in revenue. So it's kind of a big company that you probably never heard of. And then Andy Williams, who's a pioneer in this industry and has been involved in Medicine Man, Medicine Man Technologies, is obviously a founder and a partner in this company, along with myself. So I'm really excited for that.
So since you brought that up, let's touch base on that here real quick. Now that was just announced earlier this year, your merger. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how that process is going?
But Medicine Men Technology, it is made up of a group of pioneers in this industry who have come together to make a really impactful company, the best operators, the best brands, the best companies, and they're doing a great job at really coming into the industry and banding everybody together and moving forward for the movement of what cannabis is, right? For medicinal value, as well as for those who maybe consume for the relaxation purpose, maybe when they go home. We've all been a part of this movement, and we're all coming together to bring what Medicine Man Technologies has already done in the industry with their consulting to teach people how to do things. We're now saying, okay, let's become operators ourselves and pull everybody into this this brand warehouse, if you will, and make it one big impactful company. So that's one thing that they're doing. They're doing a great job. They have a great group of leadership that's all together holding hands and moving forward.
That's certainly exciting to see the two companies come together like that. So now, even though you're the first, I'm sure that we can expect more research facilities to kind of come online in the coming weeks. But since you kind of get the first jump in here, do you have any particular goals set for what kind of research that you're going to be looking into in the future?
Sure. Yeah. So there's two different types of research licenses. You know, there's the federal version that we're talking about now. There's also a research license that Colorado put in play over a year ago. And we're the only one to have that research license at the state level as well. So in doing so, we've started already developing different projects that we want to conduct. Our first one will start towards the end of this year. It'll be a clinical trial on Alzheimer's and dementia. And so we're working with a world-renowned neurologist on that, as well as a brain scan company by the name of Seriscan. To help map out in the brain where cannabinoids maybe are impacting and helping patients, or maybe where they're not. So we're going to take a look at it from a broad perspective to see what we can get out of this research. And then we have a dosage form that we've created specifically for this this disease to see what kind of impacts it might have from cognition to overall demeanor, and then again back to brain mapping and seeing if maybe we're seeing relief in inflammation and other symptoms that might carry through.
Fantastic. It's going to be so exciting to see some of this research that does get an opportunity now to unfold since the DEA is starting to lift that veil a little bit and allow some of this research and allow some of these research facilities to get into this industry. It's going to be so exciting to see what does come from this in the long run. Now, you mentioned in your press release that this is really kind of a game changer for the cannabis industry. Let's have you kind of elaborate on that now. Can you kind of give me your best crystal ball view of what's going to happen here over the next 3 to 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. So we've already seen where research has been with cannabis, right? And it's been University of Mississippi has been the only entity that's been allowed to provide cannabis for research purposes. When I say it's a game changer for a number of reasons. One, the cannabis and the quality of the cannabis, as well as the dosage forms, I think will be elevated much higher for research purposes with companies like ours and maybe others who are going to be able to provide higher quality cannabis. A lot of the stuff that came from the University of Mississippi was subpar and had contaminants inside of it that maybe we would be shut down for in this industry. So I think it's really important to first say we're going to have better product for better research. I think that's the baseline for what we're going to see. The other thing we're going to see is different products and different projects coming together in order to understand the what, why, and how behind cannabinoids, terpenes, and other excipients to make sure that people are getting the correct relief in the right amount and dosage forms, right? So if you have a patient, for instance, who has throat cancer and they can't swallow, well, we can make a dosage form that maybe is a suppository or something that's absorbed in the buccal, so they don't have to necessarily consume it orally by swallowing, but it's absorbed other ways and they're still getting that relief. So I think we're going to see some new novel dosage forms. I know there's certainly some that we've come up with. And then we're also going to see new research that's never been done before. I was doing some groundwork on the current dementia study that we've been talking about. And you know that there's never been a dementia study done with cannabinoids that aren't synthetic, one, but two, that have a certain makeup of cannabinoids in a certain dosage form that target dementia and Alzheimer's. On the other hand, CBD, CBN, CBC, they all have neuroprotectant properties as well as anti-inflammatory properties. So when you're talking about amyloid plaques built up in the brain, who knows how that can have an impact and what it will have an impact on in the brain. So I think we're going to see a lot of developments. I think somebody in the next 5 to 10 years will win a Nobel Prize, and I hope it's one of my team members that does that.
How exciting. This is a long time coming. Obviously, the United States has been behind on cannabis research for a very long time. So it certainly is exciting to see that now with this door opening up a little bit, that maybe we can get some good qualified research in there and hopefully see the results maybe line up better with what consumers are seeing in the legal markets. That was always kind of my question with some of the research that was out there that contradicted what people are seeing in reality. My question was always then, well, are they really testing the products that people are using? And we know that wasn't the case prior to and when people were only getting their product from the University of Mississippi. So this is certainly a huge development for the cannabis industry in general, and obviously great news for MedPharm, and it's going to be so exciting to see what comes from your facility in the next several years and the research that comes from all of this. Thank you again for your time today, Albert. It's always a joy to hear your expertise and to listen to your viewpoints on the cannabis industry.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and thanks for having me.